Hi, this is Kunal Chopra. Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with eDeals. Kelly, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Kunal.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very excited to have you here.
It's an honor. I'm excited to be part of it.
Great. Well, we're going to talk about something fantastic today, especially something that is near and dear to my heart, about expansion, not only globally, but also to different marketplaces outside of Amazon.
Yep.
And I couldn't think of anyone better to talk about that than you.
Thank you.
So why don't we just start by you telling maybe our viewers a little bit about just your background, what you do, where you've been in your career, and what's it all about today?
Sure. Yeah. I've been with eTails about 2.5 years. I ended up in the retail side of things through the window of opportunity through logistics. I spent a good part of my career in global logistics, customs processing. Back then we had different terms for it, but the global logistics side of things then helped to create a sourcing group within what used to be Coldwater Creek, which was really exciting. That got me exposed to a broader side of things. So able to use logistics skills, now moved into sourcing and understanding retail, which I think is fed very nicely into what we're doing here with eTails. The marketplace selling side of things to me is a really critical part of where retail is headed. So being able to be part of that's been very exciting.
That's fantastic. Well, everyone here is excited to have you on board. And so tell me, maybe a trivia question before we get started. So how many countries have you actually visited in your life?
10.
10. And yeah. You've lived in like China and places like that, right?
Not live full time, but felt like it. most of my travel has been in Asia and Southeast Asia, the subcontinent.
Okay.
Because that's been the sourcing center for what the product that I've brought in. It's a tremendous opportunity. In fact, this weekend, I ended up getting a WhatsApp message from a buddy that happened to be in Sri Lanka, which is
right,
one of the most beautiful places on the planet. So I shared a picture of the top of Schweitzer with him, and he sent me palm trees and surf. So good contrast.
Fantastic. All right. Well, then let's just jump right into it. So today, really, we want to talk about marketplaces, both international,
yep,
but also just platforms such as Amazon, Walmart, eBay, etc. And just talk about how brands can navigate all these different platforms and marketplaces globally.
Sure.
And so maybe just start by, given your experience, just giving our listeners an idea of, what's the landscape really look like from a marketplace perspective? A lot of our brands know about Amazon. That's the big platform out there. What other options do they have outside of Amazon that they should be looking into considering?
Sure. Well, that's one of the exciting parts for me here at eTails is the opportunity to introduce some non-Amazon opportunities. Domestically, certainly in my opinion, Walmart is the number one leader in that world right now. eBay has obviously been around longer. But Walmart is very, very focused. And I think a brand that's looking to diversify their marketplace retail side, Walmart is a tremendous opportunity right now. It's younger. It's not as robust. It's evolving. So the expectation should be slightly different than what people see on Amazon. Like anything that's just beginning, considered a first-to-market opportunity. One of my co-workers has used that phrase quite often, and I think it's really appropriate in this case. Something I think when you're looking at domestically too is the fulfillment side of things. That's probably the largest differentiator, in my opinion, in the different marketplaces. Walmart has the captive system they built to fulfill product to consumers. The others, I have not quite made the same level of investment. Walmart will direct sellers or brands to different options, but I think it's really critical in today's world not in any good business, you diversify. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I think as more opportunities are coming forward in marketplace, that's exactly the same thing.
That's great. That's great. And then talk to our viewers a little bit about just internationally as well. You know, how do they navigate the international landscape, even just from an Amazon perspective? Because Amazon is not only the US, it has so many other marketplaces globally. So what's that landscape look like?
Well, and this is where it's been fortunate to draw on some of my prior sourcing experience. I think for any brand that's considering global expansion, there needs to be a little bit of the review of the excitement of the opportunity, because it may or may not be as good as it is perceived to be. One of the key things that I think is really important is make sure that the product being offered is something that foreign consumers would really be attracted to. Do a little research, determine if there's something similar or an opportunity, something's missing, but there is a perceived demand. From there, I think it's also important to make sure that the brand is prepared to invest to build a brand identity in a foreign market. Just because we may know it, a foreign country may not. And whatever marketplace you might choose, I think that's really critical. Protect your brand, trademark, trade name, those kind of registrations that need to be made are really critical. I lived through an experience where an entity in China purchased a trademark and it cost us $150,000 to get it back. It's just a reality. You need to protect yourself in that area. When it comes to specific marketplaces, I think that if you have, like you said, with Amazon, if you have a relationship, why not look to build on that relationship into foreign markets? Amazon has a very strong network, and in those markets, they've got the fulfillment side of things covered, so you can take advantage of that. If you don't, there's certainly, I think globally, Amazon is, because of the fulfillment side of things, they've got that covered. There certainly are local geographic marketplaces that wouldn't be as well known to us, but certainly are well known to a geography or a country. So I think that can be looked at as well. I think looking for parts of the world that are perhaps more similar to the consumer that you're working with today is important. China, obviously, with a huge consumer market, is very attractive, but it's also a very different market. And I think that needs to be considered. Personally, I think in terms of perhaps pushing the envelope a little bit, India is a market that has huge opportunity. It's predominantly an English-speaking country, very familiar with Western products and Western ways, and an evolving and growing middle class that I think brings tremendous opportunity. So sometimes I bring that up because I think sometimes we go to the obvious and we need to do some research and think about where the opportunity is, not just the obvious.
Yeah, I think you touched upon a number of different points there that were all fantastic, you know, and I loved how you're talking a lot more about the consumer and the product and all of the things that really matter at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we want to deliver a value proposition from a product standpoint to a consumer. And so being able to judge your product and the market based on that and the appeal of the consumer in that market is so key. And it's not just about the numbers, but it's about how do you really fit into that market. And that's important for brands to consider, I think, what you're saying.
My experience has been that making sure that you do the same due diligence in a foreign market that you would do in the U.S. market, is the item compliant? We looked at apparel in the past. Well, apparel doesn't necessarily cross borders easily. You have to be careful of that. Consumer items that have plugs may or may not be usable in a foreign environment. So it's really important to know that the same steps you take domestically, you take in a foreign market as well.
And, you know, how would a brand think about which foreign market to go into? You know, what's the, with the, you know, there's so many international markets, and I know you said that maybe there's one that is closer to the United States as an example, but are there certain criteria that brands should think about in terms of a checklist of sorts or something to look into that would really help them navigate which international market really makes sense?
Well, as I've researched specifically here at eTails, I think the fulfillment network is really critical. Mm-hmm. That in looking at China is an element that isn't necessarily as immediately available as you might think. That's why I think that going to some of the more established marketplaces, and you know, Amazon is one, that globally they've set up a fulfillment network that the brand can easily step into. And they've positioned themselves well within the key markets within the across the globe. I do think that if a brand is willing or maybe has some presence in, maybe they're in the European Union in one way or another, so they want to really try to expand beyond that, then I think Asia is certainly an opportunity. Japan is one of the largest e-commerce markets in the world, maybe one we don't necessarily think about. Rakuten and Amazon are two really good options there. They have the ability to deliver product. I think the most important thing is to look at the viability of that particular product in a foreign country and make sure that there's a reasonableness to it, that it's going to make sense to the consumer.
Right. And I think you mentioned some good points around protecting your brand and positioning yourself. Important. You know, it's important to position yourself in a marketplace that makes sense for your brand, because, you know, you want to still build out that brand presence in that new marketplace that you actually go into as well. So,
well, and I think something that we've experienced is making sure, again, maybe an example of the product being proper for a given market, took a product to India that maybe was a little bit too high price point for that particular market. So again, just going back to basics of making sure that you do your due diligence of looking at a market.
That's right. I think you make another good point, which is around price. You know, price that works here in the United States may not work in a country such as India because of the way the society is or the way consumers shop and buy things there. So you've got to be able to take that into consideration as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, the mentality that, oh, it's a foreign market, we can just price up, we can protect ourselves that way. It doesn't really work in today's world. Consumers around the world are smart and they look and they shop. And so there might be some ability to price up to cover the various costs, especially when you're shipping out of the United States. You really need to do a detailed landed cost calculation. I mean, you need to know that your margin is protected, but you also need to know that your product is competitively priced when you get it into that particular region that you're looking for. It's like anything in the world, it's become smaller. And so people are more aware.
So let's talk about, you know, just move out of the international space for a minute and just talk about other platforms such as Amazon. You know, Walmart is one that you brought out. You know, should a brand that is selling on Amazon just also sell on Walmart, also sell on eBay and just start opening it up to multiple marketplaces? Is that a good strategy for brands? Or should they do what you said initially, which is maybe look at it from a first-to-market perspective or try something different? How does a brand reconcile, you know, how should I expand outside of Amazon?
Sure. Well, we've had good experience recently with taking partners more broadly than just a single marketplace. And in particular, I think it's safe to say that would say be diversifying beyond Amazon to some others. I think that the first step, as I said earlier, is really important, is to just level set what the expectations are. I personally feel strongly that diversification amongst several domestic marketplaces is a good idea. Identifying what the fulfillment network is going to be is really critical so that you understand that. From a domestic basis, that fulfillment cost is going to be the single factor that is going to differentiate the various domestic marketplaces. Again, because Amazon has a captive fulfillment network, they have more control. The others don't have that at this point. And so it's more of a variable cost you need to look at. But I think it's critical. I don't think you should go in with the same expectations. But I think for most brands, they would look at expanding themselves in a physical retail world as much as possible. And I think the same is true now with e-commerce. It's become clearly a staple of our consumer behavior and growing and increasing. And I think at the same time, affecting what physical retail looks like. So I think to serve a brand correctly, you have to look at diversification.
Yeah, you make some good points there. And I truly believe that brands that are selling online only, as an example, I think the future of those brands is to go offline, is to go brick and mortar and create a true end-to-end omni-channel experience for that brand. You know, it was the other way around, right? First, like you sold brick and mortar, then you come online. And I think that there's a set of brands that started off online only and now will slowly expand their presence into brick and mortar. And I truly believe that, you know, marketplaces such as Walmart and some others that have a true big brick and mortar presence can help facilitate that a lot more easily relative to what Amazon provides, as an example, today. So again, just my perspective, but I think, you know, the lines are blurring, or they have already blurred, between the online and offline space.
Well, I think you're right. Consumers want the flexibility of both. It seemed like during this last holiday period, the ability to buy online, pick up in a store. Us, for example, as a seller on Walmart, our consumers that buy from us can take the item back to the store to return it to us. So that ease of contact, if we make something easy for consumers, they'll take advantage of it. If we make it difficult, in my opinion, they'll go find an alternative. And so, I think us as humans, we like that touch and feel. So I think that brick and mortar will always be there, but it's certainly evolving, which is exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. The physical experience exists. The experience is changing, though.
Right.
And it's not the same old experience that is transaction-based, but it's becoming a true customer experience that was traditionally associated only with online shopping. But now that experience is translating to brick and mortar as well, which I certainly love. And it's great to see.
I agree.
So let's flip it. You know, what about brands overseas? So say you're a brand that's local in another country and now you're looking to expand to the United States. So how should you reconcile it the other way around? A large market, a different consumer base. Is it the same criteria for a brand expanding from the US overseas or the other way around? Like how does a brand think about it the other way?
My opinion would be is almost a little bit easier to come to the US. I think we're working through with a specific partner right now that has a large presence in Europe. But I think at the same time, again, not making the assumption that the brand is known, there has to be a willingness to build some brand identity in the US market. I think that we are a market that's maybe easier to do than some of the other foreign markets, just with social media, advertising, marketing, the maturity of some of the marketplaces that we have. So I think that coming this way is almost easier. Some of the fundamental requirements are still there. I think, again, first to market's really important. I don't think that it should ever be looked at as a slam dunk that it's all of a sudden going to be this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow type thing. It's going to take a while. It's going to take some effort. The brand needs to be committed to making that investment and that effort to bring it into the US. But from a logistics perspective, the fulfillment network, all of that fundamental part of it, I think is more established here than maybe in some other parts of the world.
Right. I think that's the beauty of the United States market, right? Like you have the logistics networks, you have Amazon, you have all these big players that are well established and have been for a long time. Now, really, it's about just building that brand presence. But you make a good point, which is you can't really ignore that. You know, I mean, coming in from your brand might be really well known in India or in the Europe.
Right.
But it's just not going to translate here directly. It might. But, you know, that due diligence on, you know, what my positioning should be, the investment in terms of how am I going to build my brand, the consumer that I want to go after, pricing, like all those things need to still be taken into account.
And I do sincerely believe that this is where an expert like us can come into play because we have experience with marketplaces. I think that's really important to try and go it on your own, whether it's from the US into a foreign market or from a foreign market to the US. Certainly it's doable, but maybe take a little bit easier path and utilize a partner that has been there and can understand and give you guidance. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. You can pick and choose what pieces you do and don't want, but live off that experience. Take advantage of it.
Right. No, that's well said. So final question, let's talk about product. I know we touched upon it a little bit. You know, how should a brand really think about, you know, changing their product if needed, you know, if need be, to suit the needs of a particular audience? How should they go about that? Like, is that something that they should also take into consideration? A bike that potentially works here in the United States might not directly align back to another country. So should a brand think about redoing their product to fit a particular country?
Sure. There's actually been a few examples of brands and manufacturers that have identified particular niches in a geographic zone and built product to fit that need. That to me is very different from taking an existing product and trying to change it. My opinion would be that it's better if you believe in your product, if it is who you are, then you pick the region and the marketplaces that will support that market rather than trying to revamp the product to fit a particular area. If you're someone who, an entity that has the ability to create multiple products, I think that could be great because then there is a specific product for a given region. But my opinion would be that to try to adjust something that's successful could backfire in a way that may be unanticipated. I think go with what you have, but find the right place to sell it. Don't adjust the product to go to the market.
Okay, great. Well, Kelly, thank you again. Your experience, I'm sure, will serve a lot of our listeners pretty well today. Thank you again for your time today. I really appreciate it. And we will hopefully see you soon on another podcast.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks, Kelly. Through conversations with experts in online retail with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with eTails.